Thank you all for coming. It's nice to see so many devotees. Today is the auspicious appearance day of Sri Balaram and Balaram Purnim. I'm happy to try to say something about Lord Balaram. Whatever I could say is obviously going to be incomplete. But because we're talking about Balaram, Lord Balaram, therefore, in one sense, it's complete. Now, generally speaking, on appearance days and holidays, devotees always tell stories. And everyone is happy to hear stories. And a few jokes in between. But we can see from Prabhupada, Prabhupada generally didn't tell very many stories, even on appearance days. The only full... Well, maybe there's a few times where he tells stories. The one time was in 1968... when he was narrating the Govardhan Pooj, story about Krishna lifting Govardhan, he gave a complete class simply on Govardhan Puja. And except for that, he rarely gave pastimes. So why was that? Prabhupada didn't like pastimes? Or he liked to see the devotees fall asleep during class when he gave philosophy? No, because in order to actually understand pastimes, what is the purpose of giving a class? First of all, we have to think about, what are we trying to achieve? I can say we're not trying to simply increase the devotees' digestive juices so they can happily eat more prasadam. Nor is the objective to keep everyone awake so they can say it was a good class. Whatever it was. Nor is it to entertain the devotees. It is to help us become more actually conscious of Krishna. So of course, generally there are obstacles to becoming conscious of Krishna. Like, for instance, contemplating the objects of the senses, becoming attached to illusion, not listening attentively, etc., etc. Now, I'm not going to be able to convince anyone, including myself, in one class to listen attentively or to get free from material illusions, etc., etc. But if I could say one thing that would help someone, including myself, get free from one of those things and make a little progress, by maybe next Balaram's appearance day, we'll become Krishna conscious. Something like that. In any case, I'm going to say a couple of pastimes because otherwise no one will like the class. And maybe they won't let me give the class next year. But I'm going to say them in such a way as not exactly just rattling off the pastime, because if we wanted to do that, I could just open the Krishna book and read it. Or I can just recite at least this pastime from heart, which I'm going to do, more or less. But I don't know what we're going to accomplish from that. I mean, it's a nice pastime. But I'll explain a little bit how to hear the pastimes, how to read Krishna book, so that we actually get more benefit than usual from reading it. Or reading any book and getting more benefit than usual from reading it. In other words, how are we going to hear the story and actually to advance in Krishna consciousness? Now, first thing we should understand is that there is a television within our heart, a transcendental television. And we can actually perceive these stories if we practice. Now, if we turn on to channel Krishna, even for a few moments, then we'll actually understand the value, a little bit of the value of the Krishna's, of everything about Krishna. Because we can actually feel Krishna's presence much more easily if we actually concentrate our minds upon him. Now, in the beginning of reading, we think, oh, this is all confusing, and it's the same thing over and over again, and it's just like, it's kind of boring, and I heard this before. Although we've never really heard it, we think we heard it. Because if we heard it, then we would, and once we become joyful, we become prasanatma. Even if we heard the most basic instruction, namely that we're not this body, we'd be completely floating around all forever in bliss, that actually I'm eternal. I have nothing to worry about. It's not that our body is going to become eternal, or there's nothing to worry about the body, but because we're not, when we realize we're not the body, then we don't really care as much what happens to the body, because it's not us. Just like if you're driving in someone's car and someone hits their car, you're definitely not going to care so much about what happened as the owner of the car. Similarly, when we think I am this body, it's my body, these things belong to us, we become greatly concerned what happens. But when we realize that actually it all belongs to Krishna, not that we should neglect it, but we're not so much concerned exactly what happens. We're more concerned that we're doing something to please Krishna than what exactly will be the results of our activities. So, similarly, when we become aware of the fact that we should think about, well, become eligible to enter into these pastimes, and the pastimes means not only these pastimes, the one I'm going to say, but also the pastime that's going on right now before us. Namely, this is the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bringing us back to the spiritual world. Just like here, we have a picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in the Rath Yatra. And he's very happy, and everyone else is happy. And he's especially happy because he's bringing Lord Jagannath and everyone else, namely Krishna, back to Vrindavan. So that's what this all is about. That this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime of bringing us all back to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, there is things going on. So we should know what's going on in Vrindavan. Otherwise, why would we want to go back there? If you go back there and you find out in Vrindavan there's some old man sitting on a chair throwing people into hell and giving some people some harps and horns to play. You probably may delay your enthusiasm for going back to Vrindavan. So we should know something what's going on in the spiritual world. But we shouldn't pretend that we're actually in the spiritual world when we're not. We should actually enter into the spirit, learn the technique of entering into the spiritual world, especially by learning how to make this world the spiritual world. If we can't make this world that we're seeing right before us, we can't change our consciousness so we can live in this world as if it was make it the spiritual world, then we won't be eligible to actually enter into the spiritual world. Because we just make a mess there. So we have to live life in such a way as that we're living in the spiritual world. And that we have the ability when we learn it, and there's a process of doing that. But in the meantime, let's hear about Dvivida Gorilla. Everyone knows Dvivida Gorilla? How many have heard of Dvivida Gorilla? Well, he was a gorilla. And he was quite a big gorilla, because I can't describe exactly how big he was, because he came from at least Treta Yuga. And Treta Yuga, people and gorillas and everyone else was bigger. He was probably, I guess if you want to imagine, he was about the size of King Kong. Maybe a little bit bigger. And he was actually a friend of someone most of us are unacquainted with. His name was Balmasura. And he was quite big also. Balmasura was the son. Does anyone know who his mother was? Bhumi, yes. Bhumi, earth. Earth. And what is earth? Earth means Bhumandala. Which is a little bit bigger than this, what we can see with this little round globe that we're supposed to be on. Bhumandala is, well, it's big, And by contact with Varaha, Bhumi became pregnant. She gave birth to Bhoma-asura. And Bhoma means the earth. And he was the asura, earth's asura. And he was bad association. He didn't like Krishna. He didn't like the demigods. He was a normal, everyday asura. In any case, Krishna, although Krishna is equal to everyone, he doesn't like us. I mean, he likes asuras, but he likes to kill them. So you can imagine what he did to Bhoma-asura. In any case, this Dravida, who's actually his brother's name, Mainda, lives in the spiritual world with Lord Ramachandra and Ayodhya. But somehow or another, he, by bad association, he also became a demon. And when he heard that his friend was killed, that he became very disturbed. And he decided to take revenge upon where Krishna was living in Dwarka. So Dvivida was actually a minister of Sugriva. Sugriva was the primary general in Lord Ramachandra's army. And he had the power of 10,000 elephants. Now, I don't know how we can describe the power of an elephant, but we have some idea. And try to imagine 10,000. Well, start with two elephants. Work our way up to 10,000. In any case, he was quite powerful. Otherwise, he wouldn't cause the disturbances that I'll describe. So when he had heard that his friend Bhoma-asura was killed, but I don't know exactly the time sequence, maybe there's a lapse of memory or something, he decided to take revenge. And so he went to Dwarka, in the province of Dwarka, Katva, and he decided to make some disturbance. So he set fire to all the different mining places, industrial places, villages and towns, as well as the place where the coward men were doing dairy farming, as well as protecting cows. Now, the first thing we should do, of course, this is not the most exciting part of the story, apparently. Of course, throughout the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not that Shukadeva Goswami was saying, just be patient, Pariksha Maharaj, we'll get to the exciting part. Try to stay awake. No, every part of this story is equally exciting if we're actually in Krishna consciousness. On the spiritual platform, everything is blissful, and this story is strictly on the spiritual platform. So first of all, before we go forward, we should all put, believe it or not, Dvivida Gorilla in our heart. Embrace him. Dvivida. So nice to see you. Put some gorilla in your heart. Call him Dvivida. Not our BBT editor, by the way. But so just imagine some gorilla, and very powerful one. Of course, here he's just going around just setting fires. So anyone can do that. But he was Sugriva. Try to imagine Sugriva. It brings us into the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Dvivida is a great general. And he still is in the spiritual world with Mainda, his brother, who is also a great general. And Dvivida was a minister to Sugriva. So next he wasn't satisfied. Because he had the power of 10,000 elephants, he'd go to the shore and wave his arms in the water. Just imagine going to, and wash over cities and villages on the coast of Dwarka. So that's a little bit more exciting, creating two tsunamis and washing over villages and cities. So we can imagine, just if you imagine that, it becomes very blissful, the story. Not the fact that he's washing over the villages and cities. If you were in the village, you'd go, oh, Dravidi is so, wow, this is so blissful, getting washed over. But just imagine if we're on this, it's all on the spiritual platform. So just hearing about it, of course, we shouldn't think, yeah, villages, go for it, Dravidi, get him. No, but just in a more neutral way, just experiencing this big gorilla in the ocean with his arms, strong arms, creating these tidal waves washing over villages and cities. And sometimes he'd go to the hermitages of great sages and he'd destroy their gardens and their sacrificial places. And sometimes he'd pass urine and stool over them and contaminate them. And sometimes he capture residents of Dwarka. So try, go back. Well, we can't go directly back to the spiritual world, but better to go to join Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan Leela rather than Dwarka Leela. I don't know how blissful it is getting captured by Dravidi. And then he put them into a mountain cave and seal the cave with a big rock, like the bringi instrument takes insects and puts them into a hole and seals them. Anyhow, we're just repeating what we heard. So just imagine him taking these residents of Dwarka, capturing them and putting them into caves and then sealing the cave. And then sometimes he captured the aristocratic ladies from Dwarka and forcibly raped them. Thinking about Dravidi is getting darker and darker. But this is one thing we should know, is that not all the residents of Dwarka were eligible to go back to the spiritual world. That some of them had a few lessons to learn, so they had to learn a few lessons this way. For instance, we have someone like Satyajit. He was also a resident of Dwarka, but he wound up blaspheming Krishna all over Dwarka, all over the area, accusing him of stealing the Shaivantaka jewel. So that not everyone in Dwarka was, or even amongst the Yadus, they were not necessarily all completely pure devotees. In any case, Dravidi did these mischievous activities. And then one day on Raivata Mountain, Lord Balaram was with the gopis. And he was enjoying his pastimes. What color dress does Balaram wear? Blue. And what is his complexion?
White.
And what else can we say about Balaram? What does he look like?
A
what? Club. He has a plow and a club. Yeah, so at least we know in this pastime, his club was handy. And at the same time, he was wearing beautiful lotus flowers. And he was, what does he usually have in his hand when he doesn't have a club or a plow? What's that? Usually has a bottle of what? Varuni. So he had they're not glass bottles, they're clay bottles of Varuni. They taste just as good. Clay actually keeps the liquor better than glass would. He knows what he's doing. And the gopis were also all beautifully dressed and exhibiting much beauty with different kinds of flowers around their necks. And we can imagine the gopis with different kinds of saris and beautiful hair. And they were all dancing and singing, making beautiful sounds. And Dravida happened to heard it, and he was traveling through the trees doing his monkey business. And when he heard it, he made these sounds. And what was the sound of Dravida? What's that? Kila kila. Well, she knows the language. What does that mean? What does kila kila mean? What's that? No, no, no. It means I am the greatest. It's me. I am the greatest. Kila 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 kila. I'm not the greatest. Dravida was saying that. And he was disturbing the whole atmosphere. So he dropped down and he started to make different caricatures towards the gopis, moving his eyebrows and at the same time smiling and showing his teeth to the gopis. And then he wasn't getting so much, the gopis were laughing, but he wasn't getting exactly the response he wanted. So he turned his back to them and began to pass air on them. There's all kinds of rasas in Krishna's pastimes. It's not all Madhurya. And he began to show the bottom part of his body. So Balaram was not very impressed. And he picked up a rock and he threw it at Dravida. And the gorilla artfully he dodged the rock. And then he went up to Balaram and the gopis and started to, because he thought they couldn't really do anything, he took away Balaram's jug of Aruni. No. If you're really looking for problems, you know what to do in the future. And he started to rip his clothes off. And he started to rip the gopis' clothes off. So Balaram was definitely disturbed. And he began, Balaram, what color does he turn when he gets disturbed? Bright red. You even just think about it and feel it. You can feel it, the anger he had. So Balaram, he took his club and he hit Dravida Gorilla over the head with it. And Dravida Gorilla's head began to flow blood like a mountain of oxide being hit by the thunderbolt of Indra. A river of blood began to flow like manganese and oxide from a mountain struck by King Indra's thunderbolt. So just visualize that. Now we're getting into the good part of the story. Yes, he gets exactly what he deserves. But Dravida Gorilla was not even slightly disturbed by the impact of Balaram's club. So let's go over that again. Balaram, he took his club and what did he do? He hit his head. So can you see the gorilla? How many can see the gorilla in your heart? How many? What's that?
In my mind.
Well, where do you think your mind, or heart, where do you think your mind is? What's that?
Okay,
or in the mind and the heart. Generally, when we were actually thinking about something deeply, where do we start looking? Within, approximate area. In that area. Not that boom, boom, boom. Where's Dravida? No, it's that area where our mind is. Because the soul is in the heart, and he's surrounded by his mind. He has his mind. The soul has a mind. So when we're thinking with our mind, we're actually thinking within ourselves. So who can see a gorilla? I could have brought a slideshow, but better we think of it. Otherwise, it's actually when you see things outside, we get lazy. Yeah, there it is. I don't have to. But when someone says, hey, look inside. Where? Well, I see it. Bum, bum, bum. No, our minds. You know, this hairy guy. think of someone with, covered with hair. You get the picture. And then there's this club. There's a club and goes, whack! You can hear the sound, whack! Just hear the sound inside you. I mean, it should be, you know, it should be exciting. It shouldn't. There's smell. Smell the blood. Might get a little. Get the wrong idea. Well, you can hear the sound of the club hitting his head. We can this sea of a river of blood, like manganese, which I guess is red, flowing from his head, and he's just standing there. Is that your best shot? Not very impressive. So what did Dravida Gorilla do? He picked up a tree. I mean, he was a big guy. He just picked up a tree, and he shaved off all the leaves and branches, and he took it, and he hit Balaram on the head with it. Whack! But Balaram, not only was he disturbed, he took his club, and he knocked the tree to little pieces. So here, whack again with Balaram's club, and this tree is so hard that this tree just crumbles into little pieces. And Dravida wasn't impressed. He took another tree. He grabbed another tree from the forest, shaved off its leaves and all the branches, and again tried to hit Balaram on the club and on the head, and Balaram took his club and smashed it to pieces. And this went on for some time until the whole forest was treeless. And then Dravida, he took a slab from a mountain and tried to smash Balaram on the head with it. And Balaram took his head and smashed it to little pieces. So now you know where American baseball came from. And this continued on for some time until there were no more mountains around. Now, all of Krishna's pastimes are rather unusual. Otherwise, they wouldn't be worth hearing. Generally, we go from thinking, oh, this is just a fairy tale, and it didn't really happen like that, and I don't really like part of it, and whatever. But that doesn't do us any good, whether we like it or don't like it. If we can actually imagine it, then we'll actually not only like it, but we'll actually grow to love these pastimes. And we'll love Balaram, and we'll develop a proper consciousness of actually really what's going on. So we're not asking you to appreciate every part of the story, but if you visualize some of it and try to feel it and experience it, then it becomes actually spiritual. The experience becomes spiritual, and everything spiritual is blissful and full of knowledge and eternal. And it's available all the time. Even one part of the story, which we'll go over again. And then finally, there were no more trees and mountain, so what did Dravida Gorilla do? He took his fists and began to beat on Lord Balaram with it. Okay. So what did Balaram do? He thought, well, okay. So he took his fists and he smashed his collarbone. And Dravida began to vomit blood and fell on the ground, and the whole earth began to tremble. And that was the end of Dravida Gorilla. And the demigods showered flowers upon Balaram and the Gandharvas, as usual. They played their musical instruments. And Balaram's fame was expanded. And so is Vivida's. He lives forever in the pastime, too. And he probably learned more lessons than we have. In any case, so the pastime started with, who was Dravida, who was his master? Who was he the minister of? Sugriva! Yes, ding. And what does Sugriva look like? What is he? He's a gorilla, yes. Don't worry, he won't get insulted. You call him a gorilla, though. It's better than a monkey. They're actually varnas. Varnas are a combination of human beings and monkeys. They have the intelligence of human beings, but they have the power of great, great, powerful gorillas or monkeys. And he was a friend of who? Bhaumasura, yes, he was a friend of Bhaumasura. And who is Bhaumasura's father? Varaha, Krishna, yes. And who is his mother? Bhumi, yes. And what was the first thing that Dravida did in order to avenge the death of his friend? What was the first thing he did? Fires, yeah, the villages, the cities, the industrial and mining places. And where else did he set fire to? The places where the cow, there's dairy farming and where the cows are protected. And what's the next thing he did? Yeah, he did a few things before that, though. It doesn't really matter the order. It's all transcendental. But the next thing, he went to the ocean near Dwarka, and what did he do? He put his arm... Just smell the salt water. That you can smell. And there was a tsunami created. And it just, like, see the tsunami just approaching the villages and towns in Dwarka on the seashore and just washing them away. In other words, he sent them back to the spiritual world quick. They all went back to the spiritual world. And then, what did he do next? That's later. He kidnapped, yes, he kidnapped. Yes.
Destroyed their
official places
of the
tournament. Yeah, the sages. He went to the he destroyed their gardens and the places of sacrifice, and he passed stool and urine on them. And then he went and he captured the citizens of Dwarka and put them in caves and sealed them with rocks, like the bringing instrument, insect. And he forcibly raped the aristocratic women of, some of them, not all of them, but of Dwarka. And then, next we find Balaram. Beautiful Balaram, whitish Balaram with a white complexion, beautiful smile, and dressed in blue with beautiful lotus flowers. And he's dancing with the gopis and has a pot of Varuni and his eyes are rolling in intoxication. And the beautiful gopis are surrounding him and they're all singing and playing on musical instruments. We can meditate upon that. And then we hear, what's the next thing we hear? Kila, 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 Kila. And what does that mean? No, you're not. Yes, well, that's my interpretation, though. I might be wrong, but... And anyhow, as we hear, within our hearts, we can hear, Kila, Kila. So, listen. Can you hear? Hear, see the monkey, gorilla, just swinging from the tree. Going Kila, Kila, and disturbing the atmosphere. And then he drops down. And he sees all these beautiful gopis and Lord Balaram. And what does he do? Joins in. Let's go for it. No, he doesn't join in. What's that? Yes, he goes before the gopis and starts moving his eyebrows in very suggestive ways and showing his teeth. And what happens? The gopis are not very impressed. Or they start giggling, actually. But that's not what the reaction he was expecting. So what does he do? He takes off the lower part of his dress. I guess he was wearing something. And turns his back and begins to pass air on them. That way you definitely get attention. And then Balaram was quite getting angry, disturbed, because he remembered the horrendous activities that Dravida was doing all over Dwarka, and he decided that this is about time to show him some justice. So what did Balaram do? He threw a rock at him. Just see the rock. And did the rock hit Dravida? He dodged it. He wasn't very impressed by Balaram. Like, God, is that all he can do? So then what did he do? He went up to Balaram, and what did he take away from Balaram? His Varuni. Yes, he took his pot of Varuni away. And then he started to rip off the clothes of the gopis and Lord Balaram. So Balaram, what did he do? Because he thought, well, Balaram, he can't do anything. I can do whatever I want. He's not very powerful. So what did Balaram do? He took his club. What's his club name? Sunanda. And he smashed him on the head. And what was the effect of Balaram smashing the Dravida on the head? What's that?
Blood.
Yes, blood began to flow from his head just like what flows from a mountain. Manganese and red oxide. And Dravida actually looked more beautiful. So see a gorilla and see all the oxide and the manganese flowing from his head. And was Dravida disturbed?
No.
Not even slightly. He wasn't impressed at all. So what did he do? He took a tree and shaved off all the leaves and branches and he showed it to Balaram. No. What did he do to Balaram? He hit him on the head with it. And was Balaram disturbed?
No.
What did Balaram do? He smashed the tree to pieces. And then Dravida, he took another tree and tried to do the same thing. And what happened? Balaram smashed the tree to little pieces. And this continued until when? Yes, the tree, there were no more trees in the forest. And then what did Dravida do? He took a slab from a mountain and tried to smash Balaram in the head with it. And what did Balaram do? Smashed it with his club. Until when? There are no more mountains. And so Dravida, he decided to do what? He took his fist and started to smash Balaram with his fist. And Balaram, what did he do? What's that? He smashed here's our collarbone. Went whack with this on the collarbone. And Dravida, what happened to him? He began to vomit what? Blood. It's a pretty bloody story. And he fell down on the ground. And what happened to the ground? It shook, yes, like a earthquake. And the demigod showered what upon Balaram and the gopis? Yes, flowers, and the Gandharvas did what? Yes. So we can go over this for another hour and it'll get nicer and nicer. We may even get, you know, used to the blood flowing and things like that. So every story is like that. And the more we get into it, the more we can find out that actually it's not only blissful just talking about these pastimes, but it becomes more and more exciting because there's a lot of excitement eternally. It's not like Balaram advents himself with Krishna and he thinks, oh my God, the same pastime again, I got to go through this. Same old gorilla. No, it's ever more exciting and blissful. In any case, it's 8 o'clock, so I think I'm supposed to stop here. So, thank you very much. Lord Balaram Ki Jai, Mahahotsava Balaram Purnim Ki Jai, Davida Gorilla Ki. Boo. Just testing you. I guess you like the story so much that everyone, you like everyone who had a part in it.